Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now joining us, as I said, Craig Breslow. How are we doing tonight?
I am good.
Thank you. Comfortable? Is it
get
good?
Comfortable. Relax,
never
man.
Never comfortable. Never comfortable.
We're easy. We're easy. We're a lot easier than that morning show. Don't worry.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah,
we're not. No one here is going to boo or
yeah,
cheer.
Different no, environment. No, no, here. No, we're no, good.
No. Yeah, we're good.
Before we get into some of those discussions, you're obviously very well versed on with the Jimmy Fund. You're a player. Now you're in management here.
You also grew up in the area.
You grew up in the area, so that you know you've lived a lifetime of what the Jimmy Fund, the Red Sox, that relationship means. Just explain what that does mean to you and to everybody.
Yeah, so cancer is something that has affected my family. My older sister is a childhood cancer survivor, and I know that I'm not unique in saying that cancer has affected us. But as a player, I think very, very early on in my career here, it was clear just how important this cause was. And you know, I'll say it for as long as I'm asked. It was never a favor or a request of players. It was a privilege to participate in this. And there's just a different feel around the clubhouse and around the stadium for these couple of days, understanding just how meaningful this time is and the impact that players and the community can have on cancer patients and their families.
Are you see the players? I mean, the guys that are new to the team. It seems like they seem to embrace it right away. That's got to make you guys and everyone, you know, in the front office feel good that the players are actively participating in this fundraising event every year as well.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's not a question. And you understand the legacy and the Jimmy Fund captains and just how pervasive this cause has been to the Red Sox and a partnership that has, lasted nearly 75 years, right? And so I think new players come in, they learn from players who have been here just how important this cause is. And like I said, players volunteer. This isn't one of those requests that comes along and you say, well, I've got other things to do. I need to prepare for my day. This is how can I help and when can I do it?
So, Craig, one of the things that has been a constant theme over the last couple of days has been the good vibes, good feelings that the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber provide for the patients and their families when they need it. In their darkest hours and at their most critical times. And that seemed, the good vibes also seem to be rolling here through the stadium as well. And we've had a chance to speak to several different players across multiple day parts here over the 2 days of the telethon. And, through the ups and the downs and the highs and lows, I got to say, there are some really energetic, electric people that are a part of this team right now. And they all keep saying the same thing. Something feels really good about this team. Do you still have your finger on that pulse? Do you feel that same something?
I think it is. There's this palpable effect that this dynamic, athletic group of players has, and you see it the way that it manifests on the field. And I think it's a really exciting brand of baseball that we're playing, and that fans are getting to watch. But then you see the personalities when guys come and sit down here and talk, and you realize that it's not a facade, it's not an act, right? This is a group of players that genuinely care about each other. They care about the games on the field. They care about the impact that they can have on the community, and it's really fun to be around. It's really fun to watch.
You and Alex and Sam Kennedy have been consistent all year long, I feel like, saying we have a good baseball team. We're planning, preparing to play in the postseason. And right now, that's where you are. If it, the old cliche, if the playoffs start today, you'd be in. There's a three-way tie for the wild card and all that, but it's not done. How much work is there to be done, even on your part? I know the trade deadline has passed, but, we can watch games and say, oh, the bullpen might be a little leaky, as Lou Maloney said today in one of his videos. How does that work come about for you over the next month plus?
Yeah, a few things. So, right, we're constrained in terms of how we can add players given that the deadline has passed, but we feel like we've got a deep farm system and there are guys at the upper levels that are capable of helping us down the stretch. So we want to make sure that we're optimizing the roster, that our bullpen is always fresh, that if we're going to face a string of left-handed pitchers, we've got right-handed bats that are ready to step in. And so, I think there's work to do from that regard to make sure that we're giving Alex and the team as many fresh pieces as we possibly can, as many like versatile and flexible pieces as we can, to give ourselves the best chance of winning. And then there's support that we can offer in terms of information and advance reports. And you know, we're not going to be able to make wholesale changes to the roster or to players right now, but we can do everything possible to support them.
When the season started, you know, I was looking at the profile of this team, and I played on teams where it was, the foundation was a lot of young guys, but there was like a really good mix of just older veterans around to kind of help young, you know, the young guys, you know, figure it out. It feels like, you know, when you look at your team versus the team you're playing tonight, the Orioles, like, they got a lot of young guys, but they're missing maybe some of the older guys. I mean, when you were putting this team together before the season started, did you feel like, you know, like the a Bregman, the impact he could have on the young guys, the Trevor Stories, the Chapmans, that those guys are so important in helping maybe kind of bring these young guys that you have on your team along? That's got to be part of your thinking, right, when you're putting a team together?
For sure. I mean, the best team that I ever played on was the 2013 Red Sox team here that, you know, had this improbable run to a World Series championship team, and it was a mix of young guys and established veterans. And I think if you fast forward, I guess, 12 years, you know, the ability for young players to thrive is all about the environment that gets created around them, right? An environment where they can be themselves, they can fit in, they can express themselves and play freely. And our veteran guys, guys like Bregman and Chapman and many others, have done such a great job of allowing, you know, Roman and Marcelo and Christian and Sidon and others to be themselves and allow their talent to come out. And we knew what Alex was capable of doing from watching him play across the field. But until you have him in the clubhouse and around young guys, you really don't get a full appreciation for what he brings. And Trevor was a guy that has, you know, a stellar reputation in the game, but unfortunately hadn't been healthy enough to really impact the young guys the way that he has been this year. And then, you know, Jaron Duran, you know, as kind of the elder statesman in the outfield and taking some of those younger guys under his wing, and what Chapman and Justin Wilson have done in the bullpen. And then, you know, Garrett Crochet, despite the fact that he's, what, 26 years old,
yeah,
you know, he carries himself like a veteran, and he's the guy who pitches at the front of the rotation. So I think we do have this ideal mix of veteran leadership and young players who can come up and step into roles, you know, that, and work toward them being prominent roles.
Two good starts in a row for Dustin May since you acquired him from the Dodgers. Unfortunately, didn't get the dub last night, but still an excellent start, quality start. Big one for Walker Buehler tonight as the rotation tries to figure itself out, hopefully on the way to the postseason. But I keep hearing good things about how Kyle Harrison is pitching, and people keep telling me, like, you're going to want to see this Toley kid come up and join the Sox because he's something else. Anything you could shed or as far as those guys go?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned guys that we have in the upper levels of the minor leagues, and I think depth, particularly on the pitching side, that maybe we haven't had in a couple of years, and you know, if needed, feel like they'd be able to step in and give our team a boost. Exactly what that timing looks like and what the roles that they might be stepping into, I think, is to be determined. But tonight we've got Walker starting, and you know, the last one wasn't as clean as the one before, and he was great in San Diego. He was great against Philadelphia, and in those playoff environments, we've seen him at his best. So, you know, we're looking forward to what he's going to bring tonight.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you, because you know how sports talk radio works. We have,
you told me you guys were an easy audience. Hold on.
We have,
here it comes.
Well, it's gone well so far, right?
Yeah, here it comes. Here it comes.
No,
you know, we have 4 hours every day, and we watch a baseball game, and we react to it. And part of the reaction from us or the fan base might be looking back to the trade deadline, what coulda, shoulda, woulda happened there. Do you do that? Do you look back to the trade deadline and say what coulda, shoulda, even if it's in the shower, or, I don't know, regret after the game, the ride home? Do you look back and look at it a certain way?
Well, I think it's natural to replay decisions and
right.
opportunities and think about how you may have approached them differently. And that's not to say that you aren't also happy with an outcome, right?
Right.
We've got Dustin May, you know, you said he's, you know, two really good starts in back-to-back outings, and you know, Steven Matz has been really good for us out of the pen. But of course, you kind of play these situations out and you think about, you know, what you could have done differently. And maybe sometimes the answer is nothing. But other times, you know, you hope that there's something that you can learn so that when you're in this position again, you can achieve the desired outcome there.
Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer for the Boston Red Sox. Appreciate you joining us, talking about the
Thanks,
Jim
sir.
Fund, how important this is this day.
We're wrapping things up, Jones and Keefe, here on day two. But The 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon will continue with WEEI Afternoons at 2 o'clock, right through Red Sox pregame and the Red Sox and the Orioles, of course, tonight on WEEI. You see the total there, $3,753,057.
Wow.
Which, again, the total last year was excellent, $3.9 million. The all-time record, $4.9 million. From 2008, Keith, that's a long time ago.
A long time.
But with your help, I think that's within reach. So again, donate toll-free 877-738-1234, online jimmyfund.org, or you can text KCANCER to 56512 to give any amount. And we're going to be joined here momentarily, as he's walking in now, by Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox. It's interesting talking to Lou.
Yeah.
And we just wrapped up with Lou Maloney a few moments ago. To hear him and just say, oh, well, you know, the guys come into either one is fine. Where he guys come in and, well, it starts at spring training.
Yeah.
They learn about it when they first get here. And it's something that the guys still buzz about after that Jimmy Fund trip down to Fort Myers. So as mentioned, joining us now, Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox joining us here. Thanks for coming on and joining us here on day two. We appreciate it.
Good. Yeah. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
Doing great. Let me real quick.
Yes.
Rob Bradford was on with us earlier. He told me you said you'll get a baseball isn't boring tattoo if you guys win the World Series. How did he rope you into that?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know.
He's roped in like half of baseball, I think. It's not just you. It's like a
he's
lot.
He's got everybody.
It's a lot of people, I think. Yeah.
He loves his branding. yeah, he did it with Joe Kelly, who's a former teammate of mine when the Dodgers won. And then he extended the offer to me. And I said, yeah, why not?
Okay.
I'll do it.
Do you get to pick the placement, or does he pick the placement?
I'll probably pick the placement.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
You guys could get like Thelma and Louise style tattoo. Oh, he's already got one.
Rob's already got one.
Yeah. That's a good point. I guess he doesn't need another one. Well, you're here in year two with the Boston Red Sox. What have you come to learn about the telethon, the Jimmy Fund, and the Red Sox and your involvement there?
Yeah, I mean, how big it is, how cool it is, you know, for us as players to be able to utilize our platform for a great cause in the Jimmy Fund, you know, how much it means to this organization, the city, all the people here, all the great work that's done to help fight cancer. It's just great to be a part of.
What's that spring training visit like when all the kids come down to Fort Myers and you get to spend some time with them?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it really kind of, you know, puts things into perspective for us. See, we get to play this game for a living. You know, it's a kid's game at the end of the day. It's a sport. And, you know, it's high pressure, stakes are high. But any time that we get to spend time with the kids and kind of realize, you know, that what we do, we're very used to it. It's at our job at times. It's very fun. But to be able to, you know, kind of share that with the kids and you know, make their day in any way possible. It makes it very important.
It's one of the many areas where the money can go to help that funds or helps fund the Jimmy Fund trip every year down to spring training, 877-738-1234, online jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount by texting KCANCER to 56512. It's the easiest way to do it, just to text away, again, about $3.7 million, more than that. And counting here today on day two. You guys have dropped the last couple games, but comfortably, well, compared to last few years anyway, comfortably in a playoff spot. How has this year been going for you guys, and how do you feel down the stretch going into hopefully a postseason run?
Yeah, it's been good. I think that it's been a super formative year compared to, you know, last year I wasn't involved. I was kind of watching from afar, and I saw, you know, a bunch of our young talent developing at the big league level, taking some big steps forward. And then this year, it's even more so. We've had more additions. You know, I like the kids have come up and made huge impacts. The returning guys, you know, continuing to make big leaps forward. You know, talking about being part of starting rotation, I'm just so happy for, and I'm so impressed with Brian Baio, his development. You know, he's really turned into a true top of the line starter for us. For me, is kind of like an older guy. You know, it's crazy. I have to say that now, but it is that way, especially on this team with all of our young talent. Just to be a part of, you know, the excitement, be a part of, you know, just a really overall talented team in many facets, that, you know, hopefully we have a really good core to make a playoff run this year and then years in the future.
For being out last year, like you said, watching it, do you appreciate it more now, or like, do you view it a little bit differently getting the ball every fifth day after, you know, what happened a year ago?
It's so much more fun. Being able to actually contribute and be a part of the team. When I signed here, I signed to give this team quality innings, you know, be a reliable starting pitcher that can go deep into games, help out with the bullpen and give us good chances to win. And I wasn't able to do that last year. The entire year I'm out rehabbing my elbow. So it definitely left a lot to be desired. So now this year, actually being a part of the team for real, helping us win, you know, as we continue to push and push towards the playoffs, it's been a lot of fun, especially doing it here in Boston.
You know, it seems like every pitcher, though, is inevitably out for like a season. Is that something like you and other pitchers talk about? Like, hey, if you've had four good seasons in a row, like it's kind of coming at some point. It's almost nobody can avoid it, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a few guys, the guys that, you know, their elbow just lasts forever and they never have a major injury. It's like you're a unicorn now in today's day and age of pitching. I think just so much is demanded of us. Velocity has become more and more important. Guys are going out there ripping stuff as hard as they can because you have to if you want to get outs at this level. So, it's kind of become a rite of passage, getting a Tommy John surgery or getting, you know, something done. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, but that's the way it is. Yeah. So you're kind of right. Like at some point, there's always that period where it's like, okay, time to get this fixed up.
Yeah.
Luckily, the science and the medicine is so advanced now to where the, you know, return to play with, you know, the same level of stuff and feel, it's getting more that way. You know, there's complications every once in a while, but for the most part, it's just you got to, you know, fight back from whatever injury it is.
Well, the rite of passage is an interesting way of putting it. I know Keith is chomping at the bit for some non-baseball questions. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you one kind of in the middle, because you said something that jumped out. We watched the Clubhouse on Netflix, and you even said at one point, like, you feel like you're on the team, but you're kind of separate from the team, working out and rehabbing on the side. I guess, what was the experience like last year, kind of having your every move, the team's every move filmed on Netflix? What was that experience like for you and the team?
I thought it was cool. You know, I wish we were doing it this year compared to last year. It's more exciting, more fun storylines. But in general, I thought they did a great job. I didn't mind it too much. Again, I wasn't playing, so, you know, I wasn't asked like, hey, can you put a mic on when you go out and pitch or anything like that? I know other guys were asked to do that, and, you know, depending on the player, some guys are more comfortable than others, but overall, I feel like the participation was good. You know, it kind of painted a pretty solid picture of like what we go through as players and on field, off field. So, yeah, I thought it was a cool experience.
All right, I know you're a huge movie and TV fan. Mm-hmm. What's the best thing you've watched recently?
Best thing I watched recently was Andor.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a big Star
Wars. You're speaking fantastic. His language. Yeah,
amazing.
I'm a big Star Wars fan. And I got away from it over the last few years. I was a little disappointed when Disney took over Lucasfilm, LucasArts, and I didn't like the movies they did at all. All three of them I thought were terrible. And then they put out a few series. Mandalorian, I wasn't a big fan of. Some of the other stuff I wasn't into. And so I was kind of sleeping on the Andor series. I actually saw Rogue One in theaters, and I was like, oh, they did a good job with this. This was a good movie. But I didn't even know anything about it. And I set up a Disney Plus subscription. I'm like, what's this Andor? Oh, this is the guy from the Rogue One movie.
Yes.
And I started watching it, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's the best writing, best character development in all of Star Wars. Like, the entire universe combined, in my opinion. If it wasn't a Star Wars show, it'd be like, wow, this is like top tier Emmy television. And it, even being a Star Wars show, it is that, delving into, you know, the politics, delving into, you know, all the stuff like pre Luke Skywalker was really cool.
I'll explain it to you later, Joe.
Yeah, I am going to need an explainer.
It's a Star Wars show without lightsabers.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it'd be good, but it's amazing.
Yeah, that was
not the greatest pitch.
Yeah. No, that was the one thing when I started the show, I read online, yeah, there's no lightsabers here. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. But after like 3-4 episodes, I was completely locked in.
Fantastic.
Brad Foe, because he's a gossip. You're a Severance guy?
Yes.
Okay. That's one that I watch. He got me into that show. That is a pretty good watch as well. Well, Lucas Giolito, we appreciate the time jumping on. Thank you so much for doing so, and best of luck this
season. Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, up next with us here at Fenway Park for our WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Telethon is Charlie Jacobs, Bruins CEO. Charlie, how are we doing today?
Well, how are you, gentlemen?
Good.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What does this event mean to you? I know the Bruins have sort of actually mirrored some relationships you guys do over there in the charitable world, but what does this mean to you?
Just anecdotally, this is my 24th Jimmy Fund Radiothon and television, so I've been doing this for a little bit.
Wow.
And
you don't look old enough for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
A handsome guy like yourself coming in with jeans on clouds and a nice little blazer right there. Yeah. Very contemporary. I love it.
You start at the age of 3 or something? That's pretty impressive.
Yes, I did. In fact, I did at the age of 3. Speaking with someone about what makes Boston so special, and it's the fact that all of our major league sports teams, they rally around wonderful, worthy causes like this one, and why we're here today. So it's my pleasure and honor to be here, frankly, to be party to this.
You know, we're the city of champions, obviously, and you know, 13 championships since the year 2000. But also, when we say city of champions, I think it goes much further beyond the sports world. Like, you know, Boston with some of the best secondary education in the world, in Boston with, dare I say, some of the best, if not the best, medical care in
That's
the world.
Right.
Like, it's the whole rising tides mentality of Boston, and I'm so glad to see that the Bruins support it. So.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm here to make a donation.
Oh.
So if we should get right down to business.
Absolutely.
Oh, hey.
We're ready, baby.
I was gonna buy you a drink first.
No, I'm much easier date than that. I'd like to make, on behalf of the Boston Bruins Foundation, I'd like to make a donation of $25,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Awesome.
Thank
awesome.
You so much.
We really, really appreciate that. That's because we're chasing a matching donation, which is important.
I heard Rob Hale.
Rob Hale's got $1 million. If we can get to $1 million, it immediately turns into $2 million, and we all love to double our money in this world, right?
I like.
I don't want to have to do something like get taped to a goalpost and have people shoot pucks at me for $50,000 later on to get to that million.
Oh, that's an option. I didn't know that.
Oh, everything's on to get to $1 million to benefit the good cause. Everything's
on
the table.
Can we pull Zdeno Chara out of retirement?
So, obviously, a big off season for the Bruins. We're kind of ahead of the curve. We're looking at Mike Vrabel and the Patriots and a new culture and a new coach. Is it safe to say you're looking to kind of do that same thing, grab some buzz with a new culture and a new coach?
Yeah, we certainly did do a lot, certainly since last year's trade deadline, in terms of player personnel on the ice and head coaching. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of new faces. There's a lot of new energy. And frankly, you know, we needed to change the energy from last year. We owed our fan base a lot more than what we showed last year. And it was time for us to roll up our sleeves and get to work on a remake, frankly. And I think that you'll see that in October.
So how's this Durham era going so far? And what should fans look forward to or expect from this next generation of the Bruins?
So Marco is incredible. He is quite a communicator, and he's a passionate communicator. And he has the experience of playing under a lot of very very system-oriented coaches while he was a player, and he will tell you about his journey to sort of why he's here today as a National Hockey League head coach, what it took. He knew, or at least he had a pretty good idea of what it was going to take in terms for him to skill up enough to be able to sort of step on that bench and lead a team on at a National Hockey League level. And it's quite a journey. And it's quite a story, and I think he's going to be. I think all of us can be pleasantly surprised by what we see on the ice.
Charlie Jacobs, CEO of the Bruins, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. I know there's been a lot of discussion as to what this is being called or how to describe it. Is it a retool, a rebuild, a tear down, and different things? When I look at it from afar, I look at a team that has one of the best scorers in hockey, has a young goalie that I think people want to believe is a franchise goalie, a great defenseman, that there's sort of this core of veteran talent that has the capability of maybe turning things around quickly. Is that what we're looking for?
You know what? I don't want to get caught up in semantics, which is maybe why I stuttered for a second when I said, you know, people like to say, oh, it's a rebuild. It's what Bruins are in a rebuild. Well, I would argue that we have one of the best wings in hockey, like you already mentioned. I think we have two of the better, if not the best, top 10 defensemen in the National Hockey League, and Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm.
And how is Lindholm doing?
He's great. He's he's cleared to play.
Good.
And skating. And then we also have a potential franchise goalie in Sway. So, you know, we need help, no question. We went out and shopped a bit, but we have, you know, younger kids coming in that are going to need. They're going to need some help. They're going to need some bigger bodies to help protect them on the ice. Because Lord knows, you know, what, no matter whether you're 18, 19, or 20, or even 21, no matter how big or strong you are, you're playing a man's game. And it's a little different than maybe you would see in a national development program or a World Juniors or even in college. So the National Hockey League is a different animal, especially when you're talking about 80 games. So we went out and addressed what we thought would be a shortcoming and something that we really needed this offseason on July 1st on free agency shopping. And we'll let these kids develop, you know, and go from there. But I think we're going to have a very good team come October. And we owe Boston that.
I still get goosebumps every time I watch that Lindholm pass to Pasta off the boards to win in Game 7 in overtime from the spring before.
Oh,
I know that was an incredible play. And I know then you run into Florida. I still think that Bruins-Panthers might be the city's best rivalry right now.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, but it's like it's amazing. I mean, I think you know, like I don't know if the Sox Yankees, and no offense, Fenway's lost a little juice. I'm not sure the Patriots' rival is right now, and the Celtics' rival is obviously Jason Tatum just getting healthy. But it's an awesome rivalry between you guys, and that must have brought about some happy but bittersweet feelings. Early this summer, watching Marshy.
Sure, no, I know this.
Marshy tried to drink every beer in Florida.
And good on him for doing that.
Yeah.
Marsh, a great guy. Wish him well. I wish a player like that. And by the way, I was at the draft table in 2006 when we took Marsh and saw him play in the American League. And I've seen his journey, and it's an incredible one. For a player his size and his charisma, to do and accomplish what he has and to win a Stanley Cup like he did this past June, kudos to him. I have nothing but high regards. And good on him. I think, you know, I believe he may have another one in him. Who knows? Who knows?
Charlie, before we let you go, we need to thank you again. $25,000 donation, very generous, from the Bruins Foundation. We wish you good luck this year. Hopefully you're right. Hopefully it's
I'm
a good
need
team.
That. Put that in my back pocket.
Hopefully it's a good team. Let's get back in the playoffs and play some fun hockey again.
That's when the best stuff happens.
But we appreciate the gift. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Day number one of the 23rd annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, and we are up to $71,628 donated. If you're just joining us, we started the show off with some incredible generosity from a friend of the show, Rob Hale, who is offering to match up to $1 million in donations if we get there by the end of tonight's Sox game. So if you ever thought about giving, now is the time to do it. And I think we can get there. We're at 71,000 right now, but I think we'll be able to get there. So we're looking for your help. You can call 877-738-1234. Or if you want to give via text, you can text to give any amount. Just text KCANCER to 56512. And because we're here at Fenway, We thought we ought to get to the front office report this week today with Sam Kennedy, the president of the Boston Red Sox. That is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, guys. Thanks so much for being on site. It's best 2 days of the year. It really is. And so grateful for everything you guys are doing for Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund. Just awesome, awesome work by you and all the listeners. And thanks. It's a great thing. We all got to do our part here over the next 48 hours.
Well, we were just talking with Bill O'Brien. He was talking about growing up here. And I know you did, and experiencing the Jimmy Fund and what they do with Dana-Farber for years. And it's incredible to me. It's got to be, Sam, one of the, if not the, oldest longstanding relationships between a charity and a professional sports franchise, I would have to believe.
Yeah, it's remarkable. This will be our 72nd anniversary this year between the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund. It's just amazing. It's almost as old as you and me, Greg. 72 years. Incredible. But it goes way back. Everybody knows, really, became a thing back in the Ted Williams and Johnny Pesky era, Dom DiMaggio, just going all the way back. And the way that our players have gotten behind it and our fans, it's remarkable. I think we've raised the organization and our fans over the last seven decades, you know, nearly $175 million for cancer research. It is a foundation of everything we do here. And it's great here in the dog days of summer, the baseball calendar, to take a step back and really prioritize what matters. And I want to thank Garrett Whitlock. He's our Jimmy Fund captain this year. He's done a great job. It's his third year doing this. And of course, Brock Holt and Tom Karen, who work day to day with Lisa and the team over there. It's a personal thing for so many of us. And I heard Billy O'Brien talking about the personal impact. This horrific disease has affected everyone, everyone listening, all of us. And you know, I'm no different. And it's just awful. And we're going to find a cure. And these donations really, really, really do matter. So I know the amazing Rob Hale has a challenge out there. He's so generous and incredible. So thanks, Rob. Let's give until it hurts, as they say, over the next 2 days.
Well, on to what's going on the field, which is behind us this morning. And I'm sure you were as frustrated as we were with yesterday's outcome. I mean, it's tough to be, full frustration mode, because this team in August has struggled in the past, but seemed to be, I don't know if it's chemistry or what it is, but seemed to be winning series here. Are you, first of all, your thoughts on yesterday, and then kind of where you stand on this team as it goes here into August with 37 left?
Yeah, yesterday was brutal, and you know, one that, you know, we really needed to have, we should have had. It was frustrating. But to your point, you got to turn the page and just think about what really matters this time of year. That's winning series. So we take the series win and we move on tonight. We got this odd two game series with Baltimore, and then, eight on the road, against the AL East opponents. So, like you said, 37 to go, we're the division is still what we want. That's our goal. We're five games back at Toronto. We've got another shot at them late in September, so we really want to climb back into the division thing, get back to a couple games back before we head north of the border, and let's see if we can win the division. That's the goal here, because you don't like to take your chances in the wild card. If that's where you end up, great. But we have not given up on winning that American League East title. We think we can do it.
I know Alex Cora said over the weekend, I think, that he was wanted to be very careful with Chapman, but is that not a game? I mean, through four pitches the day before, only four pitches, is that not a game where you would want to be able to use him?
Well, it was frustrating that he had to go in the day before, and you know, just managing the bullpen is probably the hardest thing to do from Alex's perspective. So, you know, he made the right decision for that moment, because only he and Chappie and the medical staff and everybody know like how he's feeling at that moment. But man, does it reinforce the importance of having a reliable lockdown bullpen when you need them. And we've got these two guys at the back end of the bullpen who have been that, and it's been Chapman and Whitlock, and Alex has done a great job using them, but it was frustrating that he wasn't available yesterday. I know it was frustrating for Alex.
Sam, I don't know how much you can say on this, but all reports overnight are pointing to the Red Sox finalizing a deal with Nathaniel Lowe, and reports are that if you get it done, he could be in the lineup as soon as tonight. Can you say anything about this?
I cannot, but I know the guys. I was actually with Brez and Alex last night, and they are continuing to work on ways to improve the team, exploring all opportunities. So we'll leave it at that, but keep our fingers crossed.
Sam, like all of us fans here, we look at the schedule. You talked about it. You got a couple games with Toronto later on in September. How do you make sure that your team is not looking past Baltimore and looking towards the Yankees to try to be able to put distance if you can win that series? How do you make sure that those young players on the field are not doing what a lot of us are doing and kind of looking down the road, looking at the schedule?
Yeah, it's a good question, because you've got to stay in the moment, and it's just such a grind. So it's really incumbent upon Alex and Tech and Huddy and Ramon and the whole coaching staff to just keep these guys in the moment. It's what they've been doing all year. We've got great mix of veteran leadership and young guys who are mature beyond their years, but you can't get too far ahead of yourself. You just have to go with the old baseball cliche, taking it day by day. That's what these guys have been doing. It's been a great season, total grind. There's been a lot of ups and downs. We've been playing a lot better, as everybody knows, in the second half. It's been amazing to see this team playing well at Fenway. I mean, that's been so important this year, to have this dominant record at Fenway, and using it as an advantage. The ballpark has just been absolutely jammed the last couple weeks, and we appreciate that. We need that competitive advantage at home. It's really important.
Sam, Rob Manfred last night put out a test balloon, maybe, per se, about a potential realignment in Major League Baseball with the new deal and the CBA that'll be coming up in a couple years. He had, for the listeners who missed this, Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, and Nationals in a division, which would be awesome. Can you speak to that? Is this just something that's theorized, or is this something that could actually come to fruition in the next couple years?
I think it's something that could actually come to fruition. And I, in a rare moment, Curtis, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It would be awesome. It would be awesome. And I'm very, very, I'm for all these changes and innovations that Major League Baseball is trying to make to continue to make our sport even more interesting, more compelling, you know, whether it's the pitch clock or the bigger bases or getting rid of the shift. If you look at what baseball has done, the game is so much more enjoyable for our fans. It's just not even close to what it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I think if you could create geographic alignment and have more rivalries with teams that are closer, it would help a lot with travel. You know, with the Red Sox, we travel as much as anybody. Probably only the Mariners travel more miles than we do. So we would absolutely love that, and would be wide open to it. And I did see Rob. It was fun to see him there with the Little Leaguers last night. That was an awesome experience, and I'm glad baseball is doing that.
Speaking of rare baseball lead for me this morning, Sam, and it was about Alex Bregman and a report that the Yankees intend to swoop in and steal him away from the Boston Red Sox. Is that a guy that this team would like to have here for a long time? And if so, why not spend what it takes and get a deal done with him now?
Well, he's the short answer is if the Yankees are making a play for Alex Bregman right now, that'd be really interesting because that's definitely against the rules. So maybe you could help us investigate that. But look, we made a 3-year deal with Alex, and everybody knows his contractual status, and he's handled it beyond perfect. Look, he and his family, I think, are enjoying it here. We absolutely love having him here. He's been everything that you could hope for and more. He suffered a tough injury and has come back for that. He's been an amazing leader. He's a great guy, and most importantly, a great baseball player. So, yeah, he's a guy we want to have here and appreciate all he's doing. And as he said, we'll deal with all that at the right time. But he is focused right now on the final 37.
All right, Sam. Well, thanks for taking the time this morning, and we'll look forward to – I know you'll be here a lot over the next 24, 48 hours. So we are excited to see where we end up this year when it comes to the radio telethon.
Well, I also Greg, if I could, it's not often that I make good investment decisions and I'm able to double my money quickly. So on behalf of my amazing wife, Amanda, and our family, we'd love to give $10,000 and have Rob Hale double that. So thank you. Thanks so much this disease has touched our family and like everybody's out there. And we're thinking of Tim Wakefield this morning and so many people who have suffered from this awful, awful disease. So I want to thank Rob. He's an amazing, amazing person in this region. We're so lucky to have him and grateful. But thanks to all your generous listeners. Most importantly, you guys do so much good, and we really appreciate it. So thanks. And, yeah, we'll see you later today.
All right, Sam, that's awesome. Thanks to you guys for that. So, all right, Sam Kennedy, president of the Boston Red Sox.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Lowe, how we doing?
Here we are.
Yeah, we're on. We're ready to go.
Full speed ahead.
Yes, full speed ahead.
You got a little ring there. What is that? Was that some ring. High school
yeah.
ring?
Yeah.
What is that? What is that?
Are you jealous?
No, I mean, I got to.
Where's yours?
You
Where's yours?
I wasn't going to wear it if, Lowe was going to be here, but that's a beautiful ring. That's the 04.
We had our 20-year anniversary here, obviously, last year, and just to see everybody was amazing.
Yeah.
Some of us. We all don't look the same. You know what I mean?
You look pretty good.
Yeah,
you do, man.
Yeah, you're looking.
That's why I wear a vest. You're hiding.
Looking really
whatever.
Pretty good.
No, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, we saw Trot yesterday. When you saw Veritek, were you like, you ever going to leave this place?
Never. We had dinner. We had dinner at his house with Brianna Wakefield on Thursday. So he's my cool. best friend in all of baseball. We grew up in together in 95, got traded together.
Yep. Part of the one of the greatest trades in Red Sox history.
He's never leaving this game. Like, no. I mean, he's going to be he's Don Zimmer of our current era.
Did you know that when you were playing with him?
A little bit, but I didn't. Really, I thought he'd give himself a little grace period to kind of just, play golf with the boys. But I know it was an opportunity he couldn't turn down, and I'd imagine at some point he's going to want to manage somewhere. I don't know where it is, but he loves it, and God bless him for doing it.
So, Derek, you obviously had the intimate viewing of the Jimmy Fund, the Red Sox, this relationship, the telethon. How did you come to grips with just how special that relationship is?
Yeah, I mean, I got the C word 25 years ago. I had skin cancer on my nose. I went through that whole nothing what a lot of these people are going through, but you still hear the word. There's some
no doubt.
Some frightness
right.
in it. But you get taught at an early age when you play for this organization what this means. And obviously through due time, you get to meet a lot of people. The Red Sox do an amazing job going to the hospital, bringing kids to games, kind of give them a unique opportunity that they normally wouldn't otherwise have.
I was playing for the Pats simultaneously as you were playing for the Red Sox, and that 04 season, man.
Yeah.
I just it was incredible to be a fan.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite memories from
that
04 team?
And I think it's like obviously what happened in 03 had a lot to do with it. You know, I think everyone thought it was going to be the Red Sox and the Cubs in 03. One of us are going to break the all-time.
Yep. But that was an incredible ride, though. Like there were some times during that, like the when you guys went out on Monday night to beat the A's. Everybody remembers your signature farewell to the A's.
Yeah, you said
goodbye. That's all. The wild ride. Then 04 just made it even.
Yeah, and it did.
More dramatic.
And for a lot of most fans do realize, we were. I call it treading water halfway through the year. We were almost 500 going into the trading deadline. They made some. Getting rid of Nomar's huge in the city. And I know it wasn't very popular, but we got three really good players. We kind of took off after that, and I know a lot of people want to put it on Nomar. It had nothing to do with it. If you look at both sides, I think you'll understand what I'm getting ready to say. Like, in big moments, you don't appreciate them because it's your job. Like, I wish I could have sat back and took it all in back then. You know, you look at both sides, Yankees and Red Sox, think about how many Hall of Famers are on both sides. You know, some should be in my opinion. Some of the greatest baseball, you come down here, Pedro, Roger Clemens on a Saturday, Schilling against Messina. It was just, the A-Rod, it was just an amazing time. I know Kevin said don't let us win one, but be honest, like, we knew it was going to be almost an impossible task, and to pull it off was amazing.
What have you – I'm sure you kind of keep track with Jason and everything else of this team that – I don't want to make comparisons because it's too early for that, but they trade Rafi Devers. They have kind of a vibe to them, a youth movement. Yeah. Are you seeing that and feeling that from afar?
Yeah, I moved back to Hingham last September, so I'm here.
You're here, you're around.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And
right.
So,
nice.
So I'm around, more than normal. So I watch a lot. But you said there's this vibe.
Yeah.
And, again, you don't want to just – again, it wasn't Nomar's fault. It wasn't Devers' fault. But there's a culture difference, you know what I mean? And these kids are – Alex Bregman's one of the best teammates, one of the best guys. He's really drugged his guys along. But, yeah, this is what's going to happen. They're young. They're athletic and extremely talented.
Your style of pitching, I remember because it was so
– Different.
It was. Yeah. I just remember, everybody just grounded out when D'Lo was on the mound. Like, your style of pitching, how would it work today?
I don't know if I threw hard enough. You know, like Bellows, a sinker ball guy, but he's 95, 96. You know, I don't know if 88 to 90 would be successful. And I know the strike zone's gotten, in my opinion, a little bit smaller. You know, back when we played, we didn't have the K zone.
Right. Yeah.
So if you came into Fenway Park, the strike zone was going to be –
Well, and
huge.
A pitch clock and everything else that's changed.
And so that's a great question. I know for a fact, I would not have got drafted. You know, I threw 82 at 84 miles an hour in high school. That had no chance of playing now. But I think they're trying to evolve more ground ball pitchers. But great question. I wouldn't have got drafted. I know that.
Two of the best and most effective pitchers of your era, though, like Maddox never hit over 89.
Yeah.
And he was an absolute artist up there.
Yeah.
And your closer, Keith Foulke.
Yeah.
It was either 82 or 90, or 78 or 90. Like, he was amazing the way he was.
But it's interesting when you say that, you can take the Glavins of the – again, I'm throwing myself in elite company. But we didn't really get hurt back then. You know what I mean? I was very fortunate to play 17 years, never on the DL.
Wow, that's amazing.
But now you look at these guys. Your arm's not meant to – you're not meant to throw 95 to 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Something at some point is going to break. And you can go from a lot of different things. All sports have gotten bigger, faster, stronger. There's nothing you can do about it. I think just then we threw a little bit slower, and it didn't take the wear and tear in your arm like these guys do nowadays.
Yeah, you sound like – people used to make fun of Dick Raddatz when he was on this station.
Yeah.
In my day, we'd throw 150 pitch. You got a little of the old man in my day.
I don't like saying that, too. I know. It dates you, but
I will also say,
true, though. Yeah.
I actually got Alex Cora to admit that he thinks that the radar guns might be fluffed up a little. Everybody throws 100.
You
got guys throwing like 104. Mm-hmm. So I think you might, if you used a gun today, you might gain a little something.
I've heard some of that, but, when you come to the game, they're throwing light years different than we are. But, I don't know. I don't – personally, when I watch – I mean, Chapman's throwing 100. I'm sorry, whenever I watch that. That is
that's a real 100?
That's a real 100 miles an hour.
He's a very large person.
Huge.
Yeah, my God.
Intimidating.
Look how big you are. It's always so funny that when you meet people that have never met you before, right. First thing everyone always says is, wow, you guys are a lot taller than I thought you were. Because TV doesn't do any sport justice. Right. Like you meet Crochet. I mean, he's 6'7", 250. But you would never know it, right?
Mm-hmm. Lucas Giolito walked off the midday show, and I was like, good Lord.
Yeah, Giolito was an giant.
Yeah.
Legs and
boost. And your sport is a completely different animal.
Yeah.
Funny, when people meet me, I'm shorter than they expected. So it's a whole different thing.
What are your thoughts on just the makeup and the abilities of Garrett Crochet?
What a great trade, obviously. You know, we're looking for, you know, we've been fortunate throughout the years to kind of have an ace. I know we've maybe in the last 3 or 4 years we didn't have one. Amazing trade. You know, Boston always needs a superstar ace, and we got one. Great deal, you know, financially to get him where he needs to be for the next, I think, 6-7 years. So they're going to keep adding on, trust me, you know, but, you know, this year is gone a lot better, I think, people thought originally, you know, because of the youth movement. Yeah. And, you know, you always got to win at home because Fenway is such a huge home field advantage, and they've been able to do that all year.
Do you still ever get a chance to do any Dana Farber, Jimmy Fund related activities?
I haven't yet, but I would love to. You know, like I said, we just got kind of back into the fold.
Yep.
I'm lucky enough to do PR stuff here for the Sox. I do about 20, 25 games a year, which I love. Keeps
but
me
that's
around.
A connection, too, because it's all
100%.
One big family.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, I love it because the longer we're removed from playing, the better we got.
Before we let you go, we had Brian Bayo earlier, Willie Abreu, and they were talking about they want to experience Fenway Park in a playoff series.
Oh, yeah.
We've gotten a little sampling, I think. Yeah. These Friday nights have been pretty electric, but what would you tell them about Fenway is like?
I hope
like?
They do. And, again, I can't sit here and say it's electric and all that because it is cliche, but it really is. There's an atmosphere. You know, they're standing up in the first inning with two strikes, the leadoff batter. But it's a lot your first time. You know, your adrenaline's going through the roof. You know, it takes time, I think, to be able to settle down and calm down. But hopefully this is the year, and we'll be all be able to watch them this year.
All right, Derek, we appreciate you joining us. Derek Lowe, former Red Sox pitcher, world champion, back in the area, busting balls for Jason Veritek.
Yeah.
You got a lot going on.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.